Again, I want to say thank you. You can start my time now. Thank you so much for coming, and please listen to both sides attentively. We appreciate it if you try to keep any emotion or anything like that down so the speakers from both sides can be heard. I want to start off with the law of Moses. What did that have to say about homosexuality? Both Charlie and I think, I'm pretty sure, would agree that we're not under that old law anymore. We're in the New Testament law, right, Charlie? But I would like to start off and show you that homosexuality was wrong, that is sinful, under the Old Testament law. Then we'll move on to the New Testament law, okay? Of course, Charlie will be able to respond to this if he has time. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination." And that's what homosexuality, the sin of homosexuality, is called in the Old Testament, an abomination. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So homosexual relations in the Old Testament are called an abomination. Not only that, now I'm going to try to say this as kind as possible, but I have to be frank with you. It would be a waste of my time to come up here and have a debate and not tell you what the Bible has to say. Not only does the Old Testament condemn homosexuality, it condemns it right alongside the sin of, I think it's correctly pronounced, bestiality. But if I say bestiality, if I mispronounce it a little bit, you'll know what I'm talking about. That is, sex with an animal. Remember Leviticus 18:22, it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination." The very next verse says, "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto." It is confusion. Can those in the back see my charts okay? So, what we have in the Old Testament, it says, homosexual, a man lying with a man is sinful, just like a man lying, having sex, lying with or sleeping with is our euphemism for having sex with. A man lying with or having sex with an animal. And I know all of you here are opposed to that kind of practice, but I want you to say they run parallel in the Bible. Leviticus 20 does the same thing. We read verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind, if he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." Notice what verses 15 and 16 say immediately after that. "And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So the Old Testament certainly condemned homosexuality as a sin. In no uncertain terms, again, it is condemned in the same breath with a man or a woman having sex with an animal. Before I move on to the New Testament, I want to express to you why I'm here, lest you get the wrong idea. Because we're going to be saying some things that you may feel are hard upon you and your practice. I want you to know that I'm here because I love you, and I want the best for you. That's the reason I'm doing this. I'm here because I want to learn from you about this issue. The Bible is the standard, and it's right because it's God's Word. I could be wrong, Charlie could be wrong, but the Bible is right. So accept what the Bible says, no matter what. I am here because I want to have, and want you to have, a proper relationship with God. I'm here to study with you about what the Bible really says about this subject. I'm here because I want to be saved and I want you to be saved. I know you want to be saved. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have this interest in the Word of God. I am here, make no bones about it, to ask you to repent of this sin. Please do not shoot the messenger. Please, no reason to get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible has to say. If I'm wrong about it, feel free to tell me in the foyer, "Pat, you're wrong about it, and why?" But we don't have to get mad about it. I won't be mad at you, and you won't be mad at me. In Galatians 4:16, Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Evidently, he told the truth to some people. They became his enemy, but there's no need for that. That would be, again, like shooting the messenger. Next, let's go to the New Testament and see what it has to say about this sin of homosexuality. I'm going to read Romans 1, verse 24, and verses 26 through 27. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections." Underline that word vile. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." So the lesbians were going against nature. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Here are terms that, in the passage we just read, terms used to refer to homosexuality in this passage. Uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use unseemly in error. Homosexuality here is condemned along with fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, and haters of God, verses 29 through 31. Will my friend Charlie also deny that these are sins? Because they're basically condemned all at the same time in the same passage. Let's continue on from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Now, if you see a passage on my chart quoted that's not doesn't have a reference by it, that means it's from the old King James Version. But many times I'll quote from other versions, but I'll make a note of it. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 from the New King James Version. Follow along with me, if you will. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites. I hope we all know what that means, but it's a little bit less clear than homosexuals. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. The footnote in the New King James Version has the homosexual, sodomites, those submitting to homosexuals. That would be the one that would take on the less active role, or we might say, I don't know if this is the correct terminology, but for lack of a better word, more like the female role in the gay relationship. Number two, the second one that you see translated sodomite is the male homosexual, the one that takes the more active role. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 condemns homosexual relations. It names it, and it says that people that practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't be saved. Does this mean that once you commit this sin, you can't be saved? It's impossible? No, it's just like any other sin. You can repent and ask God to forgive you if you're truly sorry, and He will forgive you. But in absence of repentance, a person that continues into sin will not be saved. That is according to God's Word. And we all here have that basis, that understanding, that standard, that this is God's Word, and it is right. Charlie, I think, agrees with that, and we'll see how the discussion goes from there. I want to discuss a couple of words that we find in this passage in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, the Greek words, where you see it translated homosexuals or sodomites. The first word I want you to look at, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but I think it's malakoa. Perhaps Charlie has had some Greek and can correct my pronunciation. Paul condemned those described as malakoa. That's translated homosexuals in the New King James Version, which we just saw, or effeminate in the Old King James Version. He condemns those people in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Now, John Stott, in his book, Homosexual Marriage, defines this word. He's defining the Greek word, not the English word. He said it meant males, not necessarily boys, who played the passive role in homosexual intercourse. I think we know what he means. Whether or not you agree with his terminology, we know what he's saying. This word is defined as, by Arden Gingrich, or other name for that is the Bauer Danker Lexicon, which is one of the most highly respected dictionaries of biblical Greek, according to Wikipedia. He defines this word as effeminate, especially of catamites, men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. Could be a person who allows this to happen when he really doesn't have that orientation, but he's doing it for money. Either way, he's committing this sin. Mr. Thayer, who's a very well-known lexicographer, he was professor of New Testament criticism at the Harvard Divinity School from 1884 to 1901. Many of you have heard of Arden Gingrich and Thayer. I know that Charlie has. His book was a Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament. He translates, or he defines this word, effeminate, of a catamite, a male who submits his body to a natural lewdness. Strong's defines this figuratively, a catamite, effeminate, or soft. Weiger Green defines this word, they're defining the Greek word, not the English, effeminate. Specifically as of homosexual males. Now there's another word, arsenokoete. That's the other word that you saw translated in the New King James Version. You saw that translated sodomites in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. In the New American Standard Version, it's translated homosexuals, or the Old King James, abusers of themselves with mankind. This word is also used in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, and we're going to go to that passage in a minute. Translated homosexuals in the New American Standard Version, them that defile themselves with mankind in the Old King James Version. And it's condemned in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Again, John Stott defined this word. The Greeks use this expression to describe the one who took the active role. So in the gay relationship, you have the one taking the passive role and the active role. And we saw in 1 Romans 1 that it also condemned the female lesbian relationship. This word is defined, the same word, remember this is a arsino poetes, whereas the other was malopoia. This word is defined by Thayer as one who lies with a male or with a female, a sodomite. Arden Gingrich, a male homosexual, pederast, sodomite, strong, a sodomite, wide or green, male homosexual or sodomite. Here's some versions of the Bible how they translate the word. The New American Standard translates this Greek word homosexual. New King James Version, sodomites. Simple English Version, homosexuals. Green Dinglinear, sodomites. New Testament translates from Latin Vulgate, sodomites. Here's some other translations. Partakers in homosexuality, those who participate in homosexuality, the homosexualist, and men who practice sodomy. Again, if you look back at the verse, this is the word translated sodomites, where the former word is the word translated homosexuals. And again, it says of both categories, the one taking the passive and or the active role, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It's the word, it only has the arsenopoetes in it. Okay, the one that takes the, I believe that was the one that takes the active role. Active role. It says, we also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and all those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he trusts to me. Simple English New Testament. Now, I've got a 20-minute speech going here. I'd appreciate it if you give me a 10, 5, 2, and 1 warning. You can do that like that, just holding up your fingers. The New American Standard translation, how much?
5.5 minutes.
9.5. New American Standard translates this word homosexuals. The New King James Version, sodomites. The Living Bible, homosexuals. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 condemns homosexual relations. Next, I would like you to notice Matthew 19, 4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. In Matthew 19, 4 and 5, Jesus is speaking. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. We've had some controversy in the last 10 or 12 years all over the nation about homosexual marriage. When Jesus defined what marriage should be, he said it should be between male and female. That is actually a quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. So that's the way it has been from the very beginning, with Adam and Eve, from the creation. Jesus reiterates that in Matthew 19, 4-5. Marriage should be between male and female. That's because sexual relations between male and male, or female and female, are forbidden, sinful. And therefore, we obviously, if that's true, we could not have legitimate marriage between the same sex. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Not every man have his own husband, or every woman have her own wife, but man with woman. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I want you to notice a significant passage. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. I believe we read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 or 10 a while ago. It showed that homosexuals, that was condemned by the Bible. We didn't continue on reading with verse 11, but I want to do that now. Maybe I should just turn in my Bible there since I don't have the whole thing there. But 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 is the one that condemned homosexuals and sodomites. Verse 11, and this is in the middle of a list of sins. We find a list of sins in the Bible in the New Testament 3 or 4 times. Galatians 5 is also another place. Verse 11, it says, first of all, in verse 10, at the end of the list, he says, such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't be saved. They won't go to heaven. Verse 11 says, such and such were some of you. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul said, such were some of them. So some of these Christians in Corinth had at one time, before they become Christians, they had been fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards. But when they became Christians, one of the passages in the Bible says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. When they became Christians, they had to repent and then be baptized for the remission of sins. Their repentance then demanded that they were sorry for their sins and they stopped their sins. That's why Paul can say, such were past tense, some of you. They weren't homosexuals anymore. They weren't thieves anymore. They weren't fornicators anymore. They weren't adulterers anymore. They weren't murderers anymore. They had quit. They had repented of that. This shows that these people stopped their homosexual lifestyle when they repented and became Christians. And this proves people can today stop this sin. I know there's a controversy about this. Oh, people can't help it. They can't stop it. It may be hard to stop it. like somebody trying to stop who's been addicted on cigarettes for a number of years. Very hard to stop. It's hard, but it can be done. You can stop this sin. People should stop this sin. People to become Christians have to stop this sin. If you want to be a faithful Christian, you have to stop this sin, just like you have to stop being a thief, or a fornicator, or an idolater, or a murderer, or an adulterer. You have to stop these sins. It is the Metropolitan Community Church's contention, I believe, Charlie can correct me if I'm wrong, that homosexuals can't help or stop their practice because they were born that way. If it is true that homosexuals are born that way, therefore they can't stop their sin, then by reverse logic, since this passage shows that you can stop the sin, that would prove you're not born that way. If it's true that if a person is born that way, they can't help it, then, and you can't cease this, stop this, then if you can show they can stop it, that proves they're not born that way. You see the logic? Well, 1 Corinthians 6 says, such were some of you. Past tense. They had stopped it. By that logic, it proves they were not born this way. Remember, Romans 1, 26 and 27 also proves homosexuals are not born that way, as it calls the sin against nature. Now, this is very frank right here, and almost kind of crude, but I think it makes the point. A friend of mine once said, a preacher friend said, the body parts don't fit. Even if we didn't have the Bible, we also know that this sin is against nature. The Bible confirms that, but we can tell by the nature of the case that this is not the right thing to do. Now, again, don't forget that I love you and that's why I'm here. I'm not here to because I hate you or I'm scared of you or I want you to feel bad necessarily. I just love you and want you to repent of the sin so you can be saved. I encourage you to be like these Corinthians and stop practicing homosexuality. I'm not trying to be ugly. There's no call for that. That has never served a good purpose to be ugly with somebody or mad at them. But I love your souls and want to see you in heaven. You can avoid God's judgment for practicing homosexuality simply by repenting and quitting the sin. I urge you to do so. Now, before I stop, I would like to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody here knows the story, and it's a rather lengthy reading. Thank you. So I won't go into the reading. It's only have 3 minutes, but if you want to go back and read it for yourself, it's Genesis 19, 1 through 24. Everybody familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay. First, let's start in chapter 18, verse 20. Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was called very grievous, even before the visitors came. Now, we know they were two angels, but at first we didn't know that. They would just look like two men, but we learned later they were angels. But the reason the angels were sent there is because Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was very grievous. They were already in grievous sin before the angels were sent. Then in chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, the men of Sodom requested homosexual relations with the visitors, who they thought were men. They requested it. All right? 19 verse 7, if you have your Bible, look at it. The proposed homosexual relations were called wicked. Lot rebuffed their request. He said no. Chapter 19 verse 9, after the rebuff, then the men of Sodom resorted to attempted rape. They wanted to try to rape the men homosexually. I want you to notice why I'm bringing this out is before they tried or thought about raping the men, they were already in grievous sin and they had already requested homosexual relations, voluntary homosexual relations, not rape. And Lot rebuffed this request because it is called wicked. Then, 1.5. Then they resort to attempted rape at that point. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of their wickedness, in particular their homosexuality. Remember, God rained down fire from heaven. Now, Jude verse 7 in the New Testament gives us a small glimpse into what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible there in verse 7 of Jude, thank you, calls their sin fornication. It wasn't just inhospitality, it was fornication. And it also says they went after strange flesh. I take it that it's talking about men with men, strange flesh, not just men with women, which could have been called fornication or possibly adultery, but it was going after strange flesh, which indicates it was homosexual fornication. This Bible story, friends, has been so well known and understood through the years, and I'm talking about hundreds of years, that the term sodomite is now used to refer to homosexuals. My time almost up. It is a Okay, in the last 20 seconds, let me repeat. There may be some things in that speech that were hard. Please don't make an enemy out of me because of it. I'm trying to be your friend and tell you the truth while I'm here. You take your Bible, listen to what Charlie has to say, pay attention to what he has to say this whole night. Take your Bible and study out the Bible evidence for yourself. If the Bible is right, God is right, and we won't accept what God has to say. Thank you very much for your time, and I encourage you to listen to this at this time to Charlie.